Just to perhaps give you a bit more background to kind of lead us into understanding what is distinctive and characteristic about Mahayana Buddhism, I'd like to introduce you, if you don't already know, to the concept of the Triyana. Anybody not come across that? So Triyana means three ways or three paths. You see that Mahayana is one of the yanas. But this is a good place to start in terms of trying to get to grips with it, even though, I'll say this now, even though the Triyana concept is very problematic, as I'll hopefully illustrate a little bit. So the first of the yanas, would anybody like to share? Hinayana. You think Hinayana? Okay. Right. I'm calling it Nikaya Buddhism. The first yana. You are correct. The reason why I'm not calling it Hinayana Buddhism is because what does Hinayana mean? The little vehicle or the little way. So the problem with this term is that it's a very negative term. I sometimes gloss it as it was as though somebody talked about rubbish Buddhism or something, or just not very good Buddhism. That's kind of the connotation of the term. But anyway, the first yana is the development of Buddhism that occurred from the period of the Buddha until approximately the Common Era, right? So the Buddha was around about 500 BCE. His dates are very disputed, but around about then, up until around the Common Era. So this phase of Buddhism, the first major phase of Buddhism, has been referred to in the past as Hinayana Buddhism. Who do you think might refer to it like that? The Mahayana, right. Okay. So around about the Common Era, this new text began to emerge, new phenomena began to emerge, which over a very long period of time, and I'll come back to this, coalesced into what became known as the Mahayana. So we've then got two tiers, if you like. We've got the lower tier, which is Hinayana, and an apparently higher tier called Mahayana. But what we need to remember, that this tier is being created by this group. The Hinayana are not buying into that at all. In fact, for what I would call Nikaya Buddhism, Mahayana was a degeneration, or that they were probably even barely aware of it, to be honest, much of the time. It didn't really catch on, at least initially. So because the term Hinayana is so negative, a lot of scholars and me as well prefer the term Nikaya Buddhism, which refers to the different sects that Buddhism split up into after the period of the Buddha's death. And well, numbers vary really, but there were many of these different early Buddhist sects. So I'm going to come back to Mahayana. I'm finished with that, but just to come on to the third of the three yanas. So if the Mahayana, its classic period of development was between the Common Era and around about 500, the year 500, something like that, then the third phase, or the third main development, the third yana, is known as Vajrayana. And I mean, that could be translated as something like the Diamond Way or the Diamond Path, but the Vajra is a symbol. It's like a diamond thunderbolt, and it represents truth, reality, many, many things. Vajrayana Buddhism is particularly associated with Tibetan Buddhism. Tibetan Buddhism is seen as a form of Mahayana Buddhism, but it's not the only form. There are forms found elsewhere, including in Japan. In the past, it's been thought that these three phases supplanted one another. So, first of all, we had Nikaya Buddhism. That was the dominant form of Buddhism. Then along came these Mahayana Buddhists with their new texts, teachings and ideas, and seemingly they supplanted these earlier traditions. And then, still later, Vajrayana Buddhists came along with their various rituals and esoteric systems and supplanted Mahayana Buddhism. This was all supposedly in India. This is what occurred. These days, it's much more widely accepted that it wasn't so neat as that. Something that I'd like to draw your attention to particularly is the relationship between Nikaya Buddhism and Mahayana Buddhism. Because, at least if you're like me, you were brought up on a view of Mahayana Buddhism that it became mainstream Buddhism in India, completely took over, or maybe nearly completely took over from the earlier forms. It seems very clear that has never been the case, that was never the case, and in fact for a very long time, and this is really quite mysterious, Mahayana Buddhism was very, very marginal in India, and it seems that it was only perhaps around the 6th, 7th, 8th century when it really took off. So in other words, it was around, or texts were around, let's say, and somebody presumably must have written them, were around for something like 500 years before anybody really took any serious notice. So that's quite a long time. But in the meantime, some of these texts had been carried elsewhere, including into parts of Central Asia and into China, where they began to take root. So quite ironically, I think it'd probably be reasonable to say that Mahayana Buddhism became more popular in China before it became popular in India, or certainly it didn't become popular in India before, if that makes sense. And in some ways, one could even say that if we're speaking about Mahayana Buddhism, we're actually speaking about an East Asian phenomenon rather than an Indian phenomenon. Even while many of the Mahayana texts were composed, at least their first forms were composed in India, and many of the key teachings also evolved in India, as a religious tradition, certainly Mahayana Buddhism had its greatest success, its greatest impact in East Asia, and by that I mean particularly China, Korea and Japan. Okay, so that's the Triana.